Number seven, seek good Christian counsel.
Multitude of wisdom. There's bundles of wisdom and a multitude of counselors. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Page five. The endless stories of get-rich-quick schemes, glib guides to easy profits in the stock market, real estate and other investment avenues can occasionally leave you wondering whether you're missing out. That sort of confusion can be dangerous if it causes you to leap into something without doing a lot of homework. Good organization, planning, and record keeping are important keys to financial stewardship because they help you make the right decisions. Questions to ask yourself, is there too much month left at the end of the money? Is your house payment too high for your salary? Do you buy more clothes than you wear? Are you paying too much for insurance? Do you cash checks or raid the cash machine every couple of days and you don't know why? Page 6 and 7 we've talked about. Page 6. Look at page 7. This continues the budgeting process. Budget plan should take more than 4 hours to set up and 30 minutes a week to maintain it. It shouldn't take more than 30 minutes to maintain a budget. It's a simple exercise. And you'll get to the point where you'll enjoy doing it because you'll be curious about what happens the next month. It will take 7 to 9 months for a new budget plan to work efficiently. Common budgeting errors, people don't use it, they make it so difficult they can't live with it. Budget should never be cast in concrete. It needs to be flexible. My wife's budget and I change it all the time. Church budgets. Every church should have a budget. Every business should have a budget. Every family should have a budget. And you don't cast it in concrete. Things change. Desires change. Circumstances change. You flow with the times. People should fix maximum levels of spending and not just keep readjusting for income increases. If you have a budget, you have a fixed income, you get an income increase, increase your budget, your buffer. Increase your cash flow. Give more to the Lord's work. General guidelines for your budget. These are typical percentages. I use 11% in giving to get people off the 10%. New Testament doesn't teach tithing. It teaches proportionate giving. 1 Corinthians 16:2.
Page 8. Warning signs for the debt trap. When things are getting to a danger point, bills are consistently paid late. You pay only the minimum amount of your credit cards. Very bad sign. Collection agencies have contact. That is a bad sign. The credit card limits have been reached. More of your income is being spent on debt payments. You need overtime or a second job to pay your bills. Your spouse needs to work in order to pay bills. Losing your job would be financially catastrophic. You regularly rob Peter to pay Paul. You always move your cash around, delay this, delay that, to pay this. Money is constantly on your mind. You go to bed thinking about it, you wake up thinking about it. Not a good sign. Not a good sign. Number 9, page 9. When I counsel people that come to me with credit card or debt problems, I want to structure their debt situation. What do they owe? Who do they owe it to? What's their interest rate? Then you set a target to get them out of debt, if they're teachable. I tell you, folks, when I do counseling on finances, and I know John's been through this many times, I start with a little speech. You're going to listen to me. If I sense you are not listening to me, I am not going to waste your time, and I guarantee you, you are not going to waste my time. I'm not interested in professional counselees who go from counselor, 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 until they get what they want to hear. I'm not interested in that. You want help, I will help you. But you better listen to me. You better listen to me, or I'm not wasting my time. That starts it. Then you get a handle on their debts. Find out where they're at. Then at the bottom, you set a target to get them out of debt. Installment loans, excluding mortgage, should be less than 10% of take-home pay. The goal should be to limit all installment debt. Credit card payments. Car payments, furniture payments. Mortgage payment, including insurance and tax, should not exceed 40% of take-home pay. Consolidation loans work only if you change your habits and stop careless spending. Because typically, consolidation loans just buy time, unless you change your habits. You just buy time, and all they're doing is prolonging the inevitable. Page 10, how to get out of debt. Stop all new indebtedness immediately. Promise to put all extra income into debt retirement. You got debt? You want to reduce your debt? Have a garage sale.
Put all the stuff, money you get, on the debt. Examine food costs. Everybody should make some kind of a cut. And I tell them, when you're doing a budget worksheet, keep track of money you spend in restaurants versus money you spend at home, groceries. Big difference. Big difference. You begin immediately to do it yourself instead of paying for services. Folks, I'm my toolbox is a hammer, a screwdriver, and a pair of pliers. And they're all labeled. I am dangerous. I am dangerous. My car, I know where the glove box is and the trunk is. Everything in between is up for grabs. I have no clue. Set a challenging goal for debt retirement and pay for your barriers. Make all the necessary sacrifices to figure out a debt. What lessons should we learn from the debacle we just went through this last recession? And we're not through it yet. They say we are, but we're not. Unemployment at 4.8? Baloney. Baloney. It's double digit at least. I got one simple question for this administration. If we're at 4.8 unemployment, how come we have almost 50 million Americans on food stamps? Can you explain that to me? Of course they can't. It's a fictitious number. The people that have left the labor force are not in that statistic. Absolutely ridiculous. Page 11. That's how I've bought my cars for years. I call it 2-4 junk. My kids used to say it's all junk. Yeah, you've been relegated to skateboards. This is how I went into paying cash for my cars. I haven't had a car payment in 35 years, 36 years. If I did it today, I'd go out and buy a 2-year-old car, 2-4 junk. I'm going to buy a car 1.5 to 2 years old, drive it 4 years, and get rid of it. That's 2-4 junk. I buy my cars from the lease outlets. That's where I bought them for years and years and years. Hertz, Avis, National Car, Enterprise. They all have regional sales outlets. I bought mine here by SeaTac Airport for years. For years. I had to budget. Had a retail sales outlet for their cars from their budget rental cars. That's where I buy my cars. For about 10 years. I'd go out and I'd buy a 2-year-old car today. Let's say I pay $14,000 for it. Put $4,000 down and finance a balance for 8% for 3 years. I won't buy it unless it's got less than 25,000 miles on it. Sometimes I'll get a warranty with that. First time, first year, got a $4,000 down payment. Finance a balance of $313 a month for 36 months. I'll pay $11,280. At the end of 36 months, 3 years, I own the car free and clear. I'm going to keep it 4 years, 2-4 junk. The fourth year, I put the payment into a savings account. Put $300 into a savings account. $300 times 12 months is $3,600. Say you get $100 in interest. Sell the car at the end of the fourth year. It's a 6-year-old car. I'll get 40-45% of what I paid for it. That's my track record. Let's say I get $6,300 for that $14,000 car. Now I got $10,000 in cash available. Second time, fifth year, go out and buy another 2-year-old car. Because of inflation, I'll pay $16,000. Put $10,000 down, finance the balance of $6,000. Finance the balance for 1.5 years at $396 a month. Now I own the car free and clear after 1.5 years. Next 2.5 years, put $300 into a savings account. $300 times 30 months is $9,000. Get about $250 in interest, sell the car. $7,200, now you got $16,450. Every month, my wife and I now put $250 in a car replacement fund. So when our time is up, we got the cash to pay for the new car, the 2-year-old car. It's simple. It takes discipline. Financial life is a disciplined life. People, the Christian life is a disciplined life. Don't ever come to me and say, Jim, I'm disciplined in my church, I'm faithful to my church, I'm faithful to my devotions, I'm out of control financially, but I'm okay. No, you're not. No, you're not. Life is a package. It all works together to glorify the name of Christ. You can't separate it. All linked together. Page 12. Talk about your investments. Family can sensibly consider an investment program that can answer yes to these three questions. Does your family have an emergency fund to carry through a financial crisis? Number two, does your family have sufficient life insurance to provide security for the family in the event of the breadwinner's death? Number three, does your family have money to invest that will not need for at least several years? Not talk about a broker. Chemistry is important. You either relate to your broker or you don't. You'll know. You walk into a financial planner's office and you meet with him about managing your retirement funds or whatever, and you don't connect, you'll know. You walk out of that office and say, you know what? Something just didn't ring here. Then go to another one. Go to another one. Trust. Your interest must come first. Your broker is a fiduciary and needs to be open and honest with you. Number three, service. Your broker needs to be available and really answers your questions. I have a couple brokers. If I call them on Monday morning, I want to talk to them on Monday. Unless they're on vacation or dead, they better call me back by Tuesday. I want service. I want to talk to them when I want to talk to them. Number four, results. Do you understand the monthly reports? Is your broker making any money for you? Now, it's been tough. The last few years have been tough. You want to preserve principal. The most important thing is principal. I get the questions all the time. You want to be in low-risk investments right now. This market, nobody knows. Now, we got some real positive news last Tuesday. And you saw the market move with that news. And Lord willing, he's going to turn this thing around. We'll see. We'll see. If he doesn't, 4 years from now, throw him out. How's that? Page 13. This is what I did on my mortgage payment. Let's say he's got a 30-year mortgage. It says it's a 6% 30-year mortgage of $300,000. Your monthly payment is $1,799 a month. Times 12 months, $21,000 a year. Times 30 years, you pay $647,000 for that $300,000 mortgage. Just gave the lender $347,000 of interest. Total principal paid $300,000. Add $550 a month to your payment. Now you pay $2,349 times 12 months, $28,000. Times 17 years, $479,000. Total interest paid $179,000. You increase your monthly payment by $550. Increase your annual payment by $6,600. Paid off the mortgage in 17 years and saved $168,000 in interest. If you had the money, tell me you wouldn't do that? You wouldn't plan to do that? That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. You know what I did? I accelerated my monthly mortgage payment and I paid it every 2 weeks. Check-o-matic. Automatic checked it. I said to my lender, I want to pay you every 2 weeks, not once a month. Right, I make two more payments in a year because there's 26 pay periods, 26 every other week Fridays. I cut it another 5 years just by doing that because it's declining balance. When you make a payment, you pay less interest the next 2 weeks, and that multiplies, that compounds in your favor. So making an extra payment and paying it every 2 weeks has an amazing impact on your mortgage, on the life of your mortgage. Amazing. Page 14. We did this. Page 15. We did this. Page 16. We talk about life insurance. Please note the following list of suggested aids for your use in developing smart shopping habits. Do not buy an impulse alone. Allow only one purchase at a time is not a part of your planned budget. Never buy impulse items with credit. Stay out of the store unless it's necessary. How's that one? Do not overextend finances for gift items. Keep a calendar of gift-giving events. Plan ahead. Do not buy gifts on credit. Good grocery buying habits. Always use a written list. Never go grocery shopping when you're hungry. You ever notice in most grocery stores, next time you go to your grocery store, count the aisles. Just count the aisles. They're odd. Odd number. You know why? You go down one aisle twice. Go down one aisle, come up two, three, four, five, six, seven. Now you got to come back up. You think that's just accident? No. Where are the sales items? Are they at eye level? No. They're up or they're down. Why? They want you looking over the whole shelf. Where's the bread and the milk? Front of the store? No. Back of it. Where are the eggs? Front of the store? No. Back of the store. Why? They want you walking through the store. Yeah. Is the music fast? Slow. They want you to shop slow. That's all design. That's all they do all that. That's how they do that. Summary. Control credit cards. Critical.
critical, critical. Credit card is a great tool. Don't let it become a terrible master. Evaluate your standard of living. Have short and long-range goals for your family. What do you want to accomplish in the next year, the next 10 years? Guard your financial integrity. There's nothing wrong with looking at your life and feeling good about a job well done for God. And we read Luke 16, 10 and 11. Page 17, we did. Last page. I want to do this in Sunday school tomorrow morning, so I'm not going to do this today. I want to see tomorrow morning with this last practical tips. Questions? Yes.
When you mentioned that credit cards are safer than debit, now when I receive checks nowadays, take a photo of it and pocket it with your phone. Is that a safer than going to the ATMs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because some new credit unions don't have it. They only have one location, and like BECU only has one branch in the that I'm aware of. In Everett, but in Monroe, they have several ATMs.
Here's what I think about. I think about what is the easiest time for someone to tap into my accounts. When is the easiest time for me to be attacked with identity theft or credit card fraud or whatever? And you think about that. I'm at my bank, Bank of America. I'm standing in line. There's a woman in front of me. This is hilarious. She's probably in her mid to late 80s. She has her credit card, and she's flashing it. She's flashing it. Easy for me to look at that card and memorize the number. And then I notice when she goes to the teller, she puts in her pen. I could read her pen number from where I was standing. So I went up to her. I said, ma'am, hide your credit card. Hide it. And when you put in your pen number, put your hand, protect it. I could read everything you did. Oh, thank you. She gives me a hug. I go to the window. She's still at this window. I'm at the window, and she said to the teller, I heard her, she's right next to me. She says, I'll be right back. She gives me another hug. So we get down with our business, and we're walking out of the bank. She goes, he gives me another hug. I got three hugs, man. Yeah. People are careless with all that. Shred your stuff. You know, be careful what you throw in the trash. I got a shredder at the office, and most of you have access to shredders. Stuff that I'm concerned about, I shred it. Don't ever give information over the telephone that you don't know these people. Someone calls you from the IRS. We're from the IRS. Hang up. It's fraud. The IRS will never call you. The IRS will never email you. Hang up. Tell them to drop dead. It's fraud. It's fraud.
Yeah, there's a lot of fraud out there.
A lot of fraud. A lot of identity stuff because people are careless. Yes.
So when you were talking about credit cards, were you recommending when those seven guys, were you those bankers or whatever, are you recommending not to use debit cards?
Yeah, I only use my debit card to get cash out of my account. The only time I use it. And I go to the branch. I go to a branch, a Bank of America branch. If I use an ATM machine, it's an ATM machine at the branch. I will not use an ATM machine at the mall. They warned me about that. That's a fraud. They've got mechanisms now to get your credit card number when you put it in those ATM machines if they're not security protected. And those at the mall usually are not. And they warned me about it. These are seven Bank of America executives said to me, we do not use our debit card other than to get cash out of our account.
The reason I ask that is our home fellowship group years ago had a Dave Ramsey thing. He recommends just using, he says, I never use a credit card. I only have a debit card.
I don't agree with him. Okay. Yeah, now that's his opinion. But yeah, Dave Ramsey said only use a debit card. I don't agree with that. Because like Bank of America said, debit cards, if they're compromised, they have access to your checking account. They can milk your checking account. Just that quick. Credit cards can't. You're protected by insurance with your credit card company. You get compromised, and if you got a credit card, hey, I'm on the road. My credit card from Citibank calls me all the time. I'll put my credit card in a gas pump. A candle doesn't clear. Well, then I know they've put a stop on it.
So I called them and they said, well, we were just surprised. I said, thank you. I thank them. Thank you. Thank you for being there. Then it clears it up. I tell them I'm traveling. When I'm trying to travel, which I am a lot, I said, now I'm traveling. I'm going to be in Maryland. I'm going to be in Delaware. I'm going to be in Michigan. I'm going to be in Ohio. And I said, I just want you to know that. Well, they know. So when they see all these charges coming up, they know that I've warned them what's going to happen. Yeah.
I think Ramsey's point is, only spend the money you have.
That could be. Yeah, because you got to have it in the checking account. That's an argument for that.
That's what he was.
Okay, but see, I'm back to discipline. If you're disciplined, that shouldn't be an issue. So he's saying that for people who are not disciplined.
And you're using your credit card as a debit card because you're not spending more than you know you
that's
can
right.
pay off at the end of the month.
That credit card does not come out of our wallet until we know we can pay the bill and we get the bill. And like I said earlier, folks said, that's just not bragging. That's just my lifestyle. This is what I do. I teach this stuff. I have never paid a dime of interest on a credit card. I haven't. Lord willing, I never will. You never know. People lose their jobs. They have an illness. And they don't have a choice sometimes. I've counseled people for bankruptcy. I have. I've told them, you have any choice, you've got to file bankruptcy. Now, there's two kinds of bankruptcy. They attacked Trump because he filed bankruptcy. The bankruptcies that he filed were reorganization. It was Chapter 13 personal, Chapter 11 for corporations. He never filed personal bankruptcy. That's a fact. That was totally misrepresented. He filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy just to reorganize the company debt. That's business. I've counseled people to file Chapter 13, individual reorganization. I've counseled some people to file Chapter 7. They accept Christ. They've had lost their job. They had illness in a family. They have credit card debts, unbelievable credit card debt. I said, okay, you file Chapter 7, you walk away from your debt, you're protected. However, there's an issue of integrity here. Some of this was life, was frivolous lifestyle. This exorbitant interest, you don't have to pay that back. But the principal on money you borrowed to have fun, you need to pay that back. It may take you 10 years, you need to honor that. You need to honor that debt. That's what I tell them. Sure. Short sales. I've counseled people on short sales. Sure. Sure, it's a good provision. Absolutely. You gotta look at the circumstances. You can be legalistic, hard-nosed, and it's unchristian to do this. That's not always true. It's not always true. It's not a spiritual issue many times. It's a lifestyle. It's a practical issue. Yes.
A debit card that's also a Visa card, does it have greater protections than a debit card that's...
No. Debit card does not have the protection a credit card does because they can milk your checking account.
For example, I have a debit card that I can also use as a Visa card.
Well, mine's a Visa card. My debit card's a Visa card.
But what these bankers are telling you is that doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because it has access to your checking account.
Because I've heard Ramsey say they're just as safe.
Okay. But let's say you have a Visa debit card and you use it. Where does the money come from? Checking account.
Right.
Comes from your check. Let's say you don't have any money in your checking account. You're zero. Will your debit card work?
No.
It comes from your checking account. Doesn't matter whether it's Visa, whether it's MasterCard. It's a debit card. It charges right directly to your checking account. That was their concern. They said that's where the fraud's at. The major fraud is with debit cards because it milks the checking account. When you've got seven Bank of America executives saying that to you, man, that registers. You know, if you guys aren't going to use it, right here.
It's about whose money is at stake. So with credit cards, I'm a police officer, so I deal with this a lot.
Okay.
Whose money is at stake? With a credit card, the credit card company's money is at stake.
That's right.
There is definitely billions of dollars of fraud from credit card companies, and they invest a lot of money in trying to protect that. As opposed to a debit card, your money is at stake.
Good
there
statement.
There are certain plans that will repay you eventually, but in the interim, you're going to be out $6,000-$7,000.
That's right. Good point.
Your loss, as opposed to a credit card company, it's your line of credit that's at stake.
That's right. Good point.
You don't have a loss.
Good point. Thank you.
That's why you need to have that distinction. Don't use that debit card unless you absolutely need
it. Good point. You're a police officer here? You shouldn't. Come down to L.A. We need guys like you.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Let's go to L.A.
I'm a traffic cop.
Yes, sir.
Okay. This has to do with credit ratings. I've been told that when you have credit card debt and you use your credit card and you pay it off, that if you actually leave a very small balance, say you've got a $5,000 credit limit, you pay it off all the time, but you leave $100, $200 balance, that actually helps your credit rating more than paying it off completely.
That's not my understanding.
Okay.
Not at all. What they're looking at is that when they loan you money, what's their chances of getting it back? When you look at my credit score, when you go to a lender, you come to me, I'm a lender. Why would I loan you money? Who are you? How reliable are you? Are you a deadbeat? I don't know that. You know what tells me what you are? Your credit score. I look at your credit score to say, what's the chances of me getting my money back? What kind of interest rate am I going to charge you? That's dictated by your credit score. And your credit score, you know, whether you have a balance on your credit card to increase your credit score? No, I don't agree with that. What solidifies your credit score is the fact that you're faithful in paying that balance off. In my opinion, from what I know, if you leave an unpaid amount on that credit card that you're paying interest on it, that has more of a negative impact on your credit score than a positive if you pay it off. That's my understanding. That's what they've told me.
Okay. Are you paying most of your bills automatic?
No. No. I'll tell you why. This is just me now, okay? I'm a creature of habit. I use this budget worksheet. I have more of a conscious awareness of what I'm paying for my water bill or what I'm paying for my electric bill if I sit down and write that check every month. It consciously registers with me. This automatic payment is not the same. It's not the same conscious awareness. I want to be consciously aware of where my money goes and when it goes there. I am more aware of it when I'm sitting down and writing out that check than with this automatic payment. I do a couple. I do my car insurance, but it's only once a year in October. I do that because I'm on the road, and I don't want to jeopardize my car insurance, so I do that automatic. But my normal bills, no, I don't do that because I want a conscious awareness of how much money I'm spending on that electric bill.
Talk about
But we're coming to that. We're coming to that. This is the age of technology. You're going to face that as your church. You're going to have people want to do PayPal kind of stuff to make their contributions to the church. Now, there's an argument for that. There's an argument against that. The argument for that is that people are going to be more consistent in giving contributions to the church. The argument against that is that a form of worship? Is that the same level and form of worship versus sitting in a pew and putting that check in the offering plate? That's the arguments. I don't know. I write my checks out and put them in the offering plate.
And you'll talk about that more Sunday.
Not unless you ask me. You just did. Yeah, giving I will, yeah. Yes, sir.
Does anybody do a bank statement? Does anybody reconcile their checkbooks to the bank statement anymore?
Oh, I do every month. Absolutely. I do download my bank statement, and I do it that same day.
So you...
Absolutely.
You still can't trust the banks, too.
Well, I want to make sure there's no... I want to make sure there's nothing hidden in my bank account that I'm not aware of. Same with my credit card bill. I look at my credit card bill probably 3 or 4 times a month to see if there's anything on there that I'm not aware of.
If all your purchases or almost all of them are credit card payments, you can look at the website and you can look at the
right. I do that 3 or 4 times a month. Yeah, I just want to make sure there's not charges on there I'm not aware of. Now, I've got a wife. And there are charges sometimes on there. I had a guy come up to me at a seminar, it was up here. And that was a number of years ago, and he said to me, I'm in a dilemma. I said, what's your dilemma? He said, well, a thief broke into our house and stole my wife's credit cards. I said, when did this happen? He said, about 3 or 4 months ago. I said, didn't you cancel the cards? He said, that's my dilemma. He said, the thief spends less money than my wife. Now, ladies... Women take families into debt in little increments. Men take families into debt in giant leaps. Amen? There you go. Yes?
So for paying off the credit card, I have the option of having my account just automatically pay it off every month.
Sure.
So is that not a good
If that's easier for you, do it. So it's easier for you, do it. But just be conscious of what's happening. Just be aware that you're looking at what that payment is and what it went for. See, that's, you know, I'm a creature of doing it. I want my hands on it. That's just my personality. And I want a hands-on on my money. I want to know where it's going, and I'm better able to keep my hands on it if I'm writing that check.
I just want the guarantee of money. Something's up, I don't
want to
risk it.
Yeah. No, I understand. No, if it works for you, do it. Just be aware of what that money is being paid on. What, you know, just look at the statement to make sure you recognize all the charges. Sure. Sure. No, whatever works, do it. Yes.
I pay almost all my bills online. Do you see a problem with that?
Sure. That's fine. If that works for you, do it. Yeah. And we'll probably all get there sooner or later. They're going to require us to do it. You know, we use Culligan water down in Southern California, and they just came up with a new rule. You got to do it online. You got to do it automatically. So I can't write checks anymore to Culligan. Yeah. The state taxes in California now, you have to do it online. You can't make a deposit monthly like we used to do it. It's all online now. That's coming. That's technology. That's where we're headed. We're into a non-cash society. That's where we're headed. Sure. It's just easier. It's just easier and cheaper for the lenders. Yes?
Do you think in the future they may eliminate
checks? Do I what now?
Eliminate checks so you're not writing checks.
Yeah, that day, the time will probably come when we won't use checks anymore. That's coming.
Nowadays, the banks are trying to offer the online bill payments.
Right. So because they see it coming.
Yeah, and it's so arduous. Yeah. I'm wondering if they're going to do away with that.
Yeah, it's coming. I'm going to be forced into doing that. And I'm okay. I'll just adjust. We do what we got to do. Right now, I'm old-fashioned.
That's okay.
I'm 74 years old. I'm an old codger, man. I do what I do. For me to change... Like my wife said, it's like pulling horses. She says, you just don't like to change. And no, I don't. I am what I am. The Lord's patient with me.
For the person who has 7-8 cards, tell them how to get at it.
Yes, 7-8 cards, get rid of them. Get down to 1 or 2 cards. You don't need 7 or 8 cards.
How do you pay those off, though? I'll do that.
Just call the company and cancel the card. Just close it.
Right, but just to pay off that debt.
Well, pay off the lowest debt first.
Right.
And get rid of the card. You know, when you, let's say you have 7 different credit card bills. And you got this one you owe a couple $100 on. This one you owe a couple $1,000 on. Pay this one off first. That gives you a pretty good feeling that you're making progress.
Pay the minimum on the rest.
Yeah. Yeah. Until you get the money to pay them off.
Take the lowest.
Yeah. But get rid of them as soon as you can. Yeah. I get rid of them. Keep 1 or 2 credit cards. I have 1 credit card. 1. I have a debit card. But I only use it to get cash. The only time I use it. At the branch.
We talked about the rewards thing. The cards with the promise, the rewards.
Yeah, they got this deal now at Bank of America. You get 1% back on gas purchases or food, 2% back on gasoline. People, I drive my car 45 or 50,000 miles a year. I calculated it. It's like $150. Big deal. To have another credit card. Not worth it. So I don't use it.
So you're saying as far as the person who has the 7 credit cards, okay, you're paying those off. You're saying they'll close that account and you pay that off?
I don't think you should have more than 1 or 2 credit cards. There's no reason for that.
And I understand that, but I was always told if you close those accounts,
yeah, just
that's to, negative on
your credit. No. If it is, it'll be very short term. They're looking at the faithfulness of your paying your bills. They want to see what kind, how risky they are. What kind of risk are they taking with having you as a customer? That's what they're looking for. And because you cancel a credit card that you're not using particularly, it's not a negative. It's not a negative. If it is, it's very short term, month or two. They're not looking at you canceled a credit card. They're looking at your reliability of paying your debt. That's what they're looking for. And if canceling a credit card affects your credit score, which you probably won't even know about, call them. Call them. Wait a minute. I'm trying to be a good steward here. They get it. They're workable. They really are. I've not found them to be obstinate. They want to see some common sense reasoning. Your reasoning is, I got 6 credit cards. I don't need 6 credit cards. Sir, you're more at risk if I have 6 credit cards. Because the temptation is there. They get it. They just know that the more credit cards they have out there, the more people are going to be careless using those credit cards. And that's how they make their money. And they know what percentage will pay interest to them because they don't pay their bills on time. That's how they make their money. They know that. It's a numbers game. We're part of the numbers game. Sure. It's all about making money. If you're not using a credit card, get rid of it.
As in cancel it.
Cancel it. You got to cancel it. If you just shred the card, your account is still active. So you call the company and you cancel the credit card. Cancel that account. Then you shred the credit card. You get deals in the mail from credit card companies. Make sure there's not a credit card in there. Make sure. You should shred it. Always shred it. Yes?
If you have a 403B or a 401K, is that what you get a broker for later on?
Well, if you have a 403B or 401K, that's a retirement plan.
Yeah.
Who's helping you manage that retirement plan? Are you managing it on your own? Or are you getting some counsel somewhere? Yeah, if you're getting counsel from somewhere, you want someone that's reliable? Like those things I went through, the chemistry?
Yeah. How do you go about that, though?
How do you go about what?
Finding a broker.
By referral. You got a nice church here. There are people here who have had good experience with a broker. That's the best way to find them. How do you find an attorney? By referral. Don't go to the Yellow Pages to find an attorney. Find someone in the church that has an attorney, that has a good experience with that attorney. That's the good way to do it.
What's the Yellow Pages?
Yeah. Do we have Yellow Pages anymore?
I was thinking the same thing. Good luck finding the Yellow
Pages. Yeah, that tells you how old I am, right? Oh, man.
We still do. These guys aren't looking at it.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Yes, ma'am. I check my credit score usually once every couple of years. I'm not in the borrowing. I'm right now, so it's not an issue with me. But if it is an issue with you, you probably ought to do it at least once a year.
Do you believe in
lifelong? Yeah, sure. Well, what they advertise is not the real price. It's a lot more than that. Yeah, it's not $9.99 a month. That's just to get you. It's more than that. I checked on LifeLock. I think mine was going to be like $24 a month. Yeah, so I don't use LifeLock. But, you know, not a bad idea to have identity protection. Yeah.
And how much would you anticipate paying for a broker?
I would say a broker should be somewhere around 1.5% to 2%. Yeah. And they should be at least making that on your account. You should be at least making that much on your account, which is tough today. This is a tough market. Now, I know I'm beating a drum. It will change. Trump. Hey, I don't know, folks. I don't know. But all I know is that this country's in trouble financially. And we need someone who's not owned by anybody. And he's not owned by anybody, lobbyists or anybody. That's comforting. We've got to see how it plays out. I don't know. I don't like his lifestyle. I don't. But how many presidents have we had that weren't perverts? How many? Not many. Not many.
Jim,
yes.
Regarding identity protection, Dave is in the insurance company. Tell him.
Yeah, you can get an endorsement on your homeowner's policy for some change that will give you a lot of protection for identity theft. And it doesn't stop it from happening, but it will help you with the expenses of rebuilding yourself and protecting yourself going forward if something happens. One other thing I was going to mention, I've been involved in the rating part of property and casualty insurance for almost 20 years. And there are two good things you can do to keep your homeowners and automobile insurance cheap. And the first is to avoid title in its official capacity. And the second is to protect your credit rating. So, because both your auto and your property insurance is based in large part on your credit score.
Talk about our economy. My wife was rear-ended a few months ago, and her car was totaled by an illegal, no driver's license, no insurance. And he hurt his knee, hit my wife from behind. No question who's at fault. We're being sued. Now, everybody says he doesn't have a chance, but that's not the point. The point is unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. This is our culture. Yes?
Would you invest in stock?
I can't hear you.
Would you invest in stock or is it worth
money? Today, if I was your age, I would probably... Yeah, I would. But I want to invest in a company that's got good cash flow and pays dividends. That means they're successful. I wouldn't be involved in startups. Not today. I want to pick my companies very carefully. Pay dividends and have a lot of cash, which means they're making money. Sure. I'm 74 years old. I'm about 90% out of the market. Because if it goes south, I don't have time to recover. And I'm fine where I'm at. Why take risk? You know, I told my broker, if you make me 5% interest, it doesn't change my lifestyle. It doesn't change my lifestyle. Why should I be at risk? He said, no, you're right. You're right. You're young. You got time to recover. Just be careful. Just make good choices.
Did you have life insurance on Joni?
No, I didn't have life insurance on my wife. I probably would today, but I didn't back in those days because my concern was I was the breadwinner and I wanted to make sure she was protected. Something happens to her, I'm okay. You know, but yeah, if something happens to me, that's the problem. So we put our money on my life, life insurance. Yes, ma'am.
Would you have life insurance on children to cover the costs if they do?
You know, the chances of a youngster dying are very, 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 very slim. If it was a piggyback off of my policy and very cheap, I might be tempted to do it, maybe a $10,000 deal, which wouldn't be much. But I wouldn't buy a lot of life insurance on my youngster, and I wouldn't do it if I couldn't afford it. Yeah. Not a bad idea if it piggybacks off of your policy or your husband's policy. It's probably pretty cheap, but only enough to bury him, which is pretty gruesome to think about. It stops. My birthday is 75. Yes.
So you no longer need that to your age, your debt. I get all that. So you wouldn't encourage then continuing life insurance just in the event that you don't need to go 10 more years, but for your children and your grandchildren, for that money, should you think that you could afford to keep making that payment?
They get our estate.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, someone says to me, why don't you keep your $500,000 life insurance policy longer than when you're 75? I said, well, the only reason would be that if something happens to me, then it would make that next guy really comfortable. I'm not interested in that. No, you build an estate. Our grandkids are going to inherit part of the estate in addition to the Lord's work. Sure. They don't need another chunk of money. That's a personal issue. I'll talk about this tomorrow afternoon. I had a guy tell me in Idaho that he disinherited his unregenerate son, which you can do. I said, why? He said, he walked away from the Lord. I said, what happens if he gets his life right at your funeral? He didn't have an answer for that. That's a tough issue. I said, you need to rethink that. I don't know if he did or not. Anybody else? All right. Thank you for coming. Thank you, John. Father, thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the principles in your book that are so practical and right where we need to be. Thank you for that. Thank you for sending your Son to die that we can have eternal life and forgiveness of sin. What a privileged people we are. Thank you for this church, for its testimony, for its leadership. God, help us to be faithful in all issues of life. particularly those issues we talked about this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.